as we open up today, I wanted to do a quick "Who am I?" And you guys have probably heard of these before. I list a bunch of facts, and you have to guess who it is. No cheating. You probably see my notes. So, we're going to start with a couple of these, and after a while, you guys can take a guess at who I am. Number one, family means everything to me. Number two, I never wanted to have kids. Number three, my dad was killed in a mine explosion.
Katniss!
It was Katniss Everdeen. I'll go on. I can shoot a bow with great accuracy. I hunt illegally to keep my family alive. I live in District 12.
Okay.
And I volunteer as tribute. So it's Katniss Everdeen, right? You guys all know this. Most of you guys have probably seen The Hunger Games. Some of you guys have seen Catching Fire already.
Yeah.
Which, if you have, is an awesome movie. So great. But Katniss won The Hunger Games.
And PETA,
of course.
Spoiler alert.
By outsmarting competition and fighting to stay alive. And as we recap, we're going to recap what we've been studying over the past couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so these people got so excited, and they wanted to make Jesus king. But Jesus ran away and said, no, it's not time yet. The next morning, people woke up, and they're like, where's Jesus? I need to find Jesus. Because honestly, I'm really hungry, and I need to find my next meal. So they go looking for Jesus. And they go seeking Jesus for wrong reasons. But when they find Jesus, they say, hey, Jesus, how's it going, man? And he's like, dude, you're seeking me because you want a free lunch, not because you want what I have to say. And then Jesus tells him, hey, you know what? You're hungry right now, but what I have to offer will last forever. I have the bread of life that will last forever. And the people say, you know what, Jesus? Give us that bread. That's the bread we want. We want bread that will last forever. You see, these people were playing the Hunger Games with Jesus. They were playing the Hunger Games of, hey, you fed us some great food. Now we're going to go and find you for more food. And we just want this physical hunger to go away. But Jesus is saying, no. What I have to offer you will quench your spiritual hunger. What I have to offer you will take away that hunger that you have for me. Today we're going to look at how to win the Hunger Games. And it's not what the movie portrays. So turn in your Bibles to John 6, 35 to 51. And I want to read it out loud, and we're going to go each person. I want to read one verse in a British accent. So I want to hear your best British accent as you read these verses. So, we're going to start...
Wait, Cockney accent.
If you can do a Cockney accent, that's awesome.
I can't.
Oh, you can't? Oh, okay. So we're going to start with Dylan, and I want you to read verse 35. And then we're going to go around in this circle, and I want everyone to read one verse in a British accent.
I can't speak British.
It's all right. Go ahead.
Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life.
Where's your British accent, man?
Oh.
Let's go ahead and read. Go ahead and read.
Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
But I said to you, that you have seen me and yet do not believe.
Can you just put on a show for America?
Come on, Mark.
Alright, go ahead.
Okay. All that
has a kidney will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out.
For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
So the Jews grumbled about him.
What are you trying to do?
Just do it.
Actually,
drop it! Stop that! Because once you saw it, on the bread,
the crimbal. Oh, okay. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say now? Did I just screw that up? Yes. I have come down from heaven.
Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves."
I got number 44.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.
And it's written in the prophets, and they'll be all taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father.
I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life.
Speak louder.
That's two verses.
Well, I say, dear child, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died.
This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die.
Last verse. 51.
Do Scottish accent.
Just speak loudly because I can't hear him.
Awesome. Awesome. Before we go on, great job, guys. Great. Those are some great British accents. Before we go on into how to win the Hunger Games, I want to make a quick note of what Jesus is saying here. The first verse that we read, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." If you guys are familiar with the Bible, in Exodus, Moses is talking with God. Shelby, can you turn that on? I'm going to need that in a little bit.
Oh, it's just no show right now. So whenever you want.
Okay. Moses says, "God, who can I say is going to send, or who can I say is sending me?" Talking to God. And God says, "Tell them that I am sent you." And Jesus says seven I am statements in the book of John pertaining to the fact that he is God. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection and the life.
And the way.
What's that?
And the way.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you. Very good. He makes seven of these statements, and there are even more, some speculate, where Jesus says, "I am." Jesus says, "I am God." But after that, he mentions three things that we need to be doing to pursuing a relationship with God. Three things that we need to do to get a hold of this spiritual hunger. Three things that we need to do. And the first one, Jesus said to come. Now I want you to, you guys have your Bibles open still. I want you to look through this passage, verses 35 through 51, and look for all the times that Jesus says, come. Look for all the times that Jesus says, come. And if you find one, hold on to it. Read it out loud. Once you find one.
Does comes count?
Yes.
Okay.
Does came count?
Yes. Just anytime you read come, came, comes.
Came?
Come, came, comes.
That sounds so wrong.
Yeah, just read it out loud. Read it out loud if you find it.
I have come down from heaven.
I have come down from
heaven, okay? To what verse?
Whoever comes to me shall not hunger.
To what verse?
Came down from heaven.
Okay, come down from heaven?
Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out.
Whoever comes to me? No one can come to me unless the Father sent me.
I have this. The Jews quoting him saying, I have
from okay. Yes?
I am the bread that came down from heaven.
I am the bread that came down from heaven.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him.
Okay.
Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Okay. Anything else?
This is the bread that comes down from heaven. This is the law.
Okay.
He also says.
Yeah.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven.
Okay.
See ya.
There's a theme that's going on here. Jesus is saying that he came down from the Father. And that the Father draws us to come to him. And as we come to him, we see him. So Jesus is inviting us to come. Jesus is inviting us to come to him. As we saw last week also, the people who were at the feeding of the 5,000, they were seeking Jesus. They wanted to find Jesus. And they came. They came for the wrong reasons, but they still came to find Jesus. Let me ask you a question. If you ever want to get to know someone better, don't you have to approach them? I mean, for example, guys, if you're at a party, you're all hanging out with people, are you ever going to get that cute girl's number by just standing back here and doing nothing?
No way.
No, right? No. And if you do get her phone number, I mean, yeah, you can get her phone number. You can totally
just
be...
talk to her.
You can totally be...
Just talk to her and talk to her.
You...
That's what I would do.
If you do get her number and you never approach her, you can be a creeper that way. That's fine. But I promise you, when you call the girl, you're like, "Hey, baby, what's up?" Right? And you're like, and she's like, "Who is this?" And you're like, "Oh, it's Ethan. I got your number from Sarah the other day, and she told me to give you a call." Okay. No, if you want that girl's number, you approach her. You walk up to her and you say, "Hey, here's my phone number."
That's
good. Just talk to the girl.
Thank you.
Maybe those guys are too embarrassed to talk to a girl by themselves.
No, you have to come forward. You have to step forward. You have to make the move to the girl and say, "Hey, I'd love to get your phone number. I'd love to hang out with you sometime. I'd love to get to know you." Yeah, question.
What if the girl gives you her number without you even asking?
It happened to me.
You still have to talk to her. You still have to approach her. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us to come to him. Jesus invites us to a relationship with him. The second theme that we see here that is visible is this theme of vision. Can I get someone to turn on the computer real quickly and pull up a picture that's on there? When I was a kid, there's a On the remote, it says no show. There's a button that says no show. You should click it. And then there's a picture on the desktop. Or not on the desktop, but on the bar. It's just a picture. Perfect. When I was a kid, and this might be a little hard to see, but when I was a kid, there were these books called Magic Eye. You guys ever do those?
No.
The Magic Eye books? What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take a look, and you're supposed to look at them really funny and, like, cross-eyed, and, like, I don't know how you do it. I can't do them. But like, you sit there and you look, and as you look,
you can see an image.
You're supposed to see a picture beyond the picture.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to see a picture that stands out. You're supposed to be less distracted by all this gobbledygook.
There's a shadow on it.
Yeah, I know, there's a shadow. But all this gobbledygook, and then you can see a picture. Turn on the lights.
I don't see it.
So, yeah, it's hard to see. But when I was in second grade, these were very popular. These were very popular. And I would try, and I'd look at it, and I'd be like, until, like, my eyes hurt so bad from trying and trying and trying. And so I just said, you know what? I give up. I'm not going to look at it. And when I was getting to know Bree, I vented my frustrations about the Magic Eye. I said, man, I hate the Magic Eye. It's so hard. I never can see it. And then, like, we're at a thrift store, and there's this big Magic Eye poster. And Bree's like, oh, it's a train, right? And she's just like, I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, can't you see that? It just pops out to me now. It's so easy to see. And I just can't do it. So in this, Jesus wants us to see him. In this passage, Jesus wants us to see him. So open up your Bibles one more time. John chapter 6. I want you to scour the scriptures for anything that looks like sight, like vision, like seeing.
Same passage,
6:35-51. Read them out loud if you find them. Yes.
Wait, which one?
But I said to you, you have seen me and do not yet believe.
Okay.
This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes on him should have eternal life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. John chapter 6.
Not that anyone has seen the Father except who is
from God, he has seen the Father. Okay. Anything else? No. Okay. Let's look at verse 36. Verse 36 says what? Dylan's got my Bible, so I can't read it right now.
But no. I said to you that you have seen me.
I have said to you, you have seen me, but yet you do not believe. Jesus is calling us to see him. It's not the fact of physical blindness. It's not the fact that I can't see you because I am physically blind. I can see all of you somewhere. No, all of you. They saw Jesus. Ripley's Believe It or Not has this saying that seeing is believing. And they have exhibits that are supposed to defy the way you perceive things, to change and to manipulate the way that you perceive things. And they say seeing is believing, but is that necessarily true? Not necessarily. With the Magic Eye, I can see the picture. But I honestly don't believe that there's anything else there because I can't see it. But people are always like, oh yeah, there's a horse there. Or there's a beautiful sunset. And I'm like, where? I can't see it. See, we all see the picture. We all see the big picture in the Magic Eye. But are we able to focus on the picture that is inside the picture, the picture that is intended for people to see? Jesus claimed to be the bread of life, the bread sent from heaven. But these people got caught up. wait a second, isn't that Jesus? Don't we know him from when he was growing up? Don't we know his parents? Don't we know everything about him? How can he be the bread that came from heaven? These people saw Jesus. They saw the front picture of him, but they didn't see the picture that was intended to see. And Jesus was talking about hunger. Jesus was talking about being satisfied. And they're like, well, we are satisfied. We want food. We want food. My belly's aching. But Jesus is saying, no, it's not about your physical hunger. It's about your spiritual hunger. It's about the hunger that you need, that you'll be satisfied. They couldn't focus on what Jesus wanted them to see because they were too focused on the front picture. They saw him, but they didn't see. But how do we focus on it? How are we able to look at the big magic eye that is Jesus and focus on the picture that we're intended to see? There's one more thing that Jesus wants us to do in order to win the Hunger Games, and that is to believe. Because we can come to Jesus and we can see Jesus, but do we believe? Scour the scriptures one more time. John 6, 35 through 51. How many times does it say believe? Or where does it say believe?
Whoever believes in me shall have life.
Okay. Whoever believes in me?
Seeing me and still do not believe.
Still you do not believe?
Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life.
But everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life.
Okay. Anything else? I bet there's one correlation that you didn't catch. And this is more of a correlation. But check out. In the first section, the first paragraph at the very bottom, it says that anyone who looks on the Son and believes will have eternal life. Right? That's one thing Jesus says in that first paragraph. In the second paragraph, toward the end of it, it says, if anyone eats of the bread, he will live forever. So how many times does it say in that passage, keep scouring, about eating?
Whoever comes to me shall never hunger.
Okay.
I mean the bread of life, though.
Yes.
If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
Well, the Father shall eat of me and it has become the wilderness when I die.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
The verse says that this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die.
Mm-hmm. So what's this correlation between believing and eating? You know what they say? And this is a tried and true thing. So ladies, this is to you. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And this is true. I mean, if you want to hang out with a guy, there's got to be food involved. If you want to have a party with a guy, there's got to be chips, hot dogs, or some kind of food there that we can munch on. We love food. When I first met Bree, she told me that she makes one mean spaghetti. And I looked forward to that day that I would get to taste that one mean spaghetti. It was so good. But it's like when she said to me, hey, I make one mean spaghetti. The bait was set. She threw it in and come on. Yeah, come on. She had me with spaghetti. She had me at spaghetti. More than that, guys, when we eat something, we take it in ourselves. When we eat something, we devour it. It becomes, in a sense, part of us. Jesus is saying, you know what? If you eat the bread, if you eat the bread of heaven, the bread of life that I offer, you'll have eternal life. If you believe, you'll have eternal life. What does it mean to eat? It's more than just looking at the bread, which I know you guys have been doing the whole time. You're like, man, I know we had pancakes, but this loaf of bread looks so good. And I promise you it's good. It's King's Hawaiian bread. You can't argue with that. It's more than just looking. It's more than Instagramming and taking a picture about how delicious this awesome bread is. Hashtag great bread. It's more than knowing the facts about this bread. It's more than knowing that this was made with yeast and honey and oats and whatever's in this bread. I didn't look up the ingredients. It's more than just taking a taste. Oh man, I'm satisfied. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? Take a bite of your favorite meal. I'm completely stuffed. No, it doesn't work that way. When we eat, we gotta devour it.
Oh my god.
Okay.
You just killed it.
Just cookie monster it.
Yeah.
Just go for it and devour it and make it part of you. And spit it everywhere. You gotta believe. And when you believe, you take all of it. You take it all in. It's not just taking your Bible and looking at it. It's not just saying, hey, I love Jesus on Facebook. It's not just knowing the passages of the Bible and knowing what to say and when to say it. It's not just doing a little bit of Jesus on Wednesday night, on Sunday morning. It's making it a whole part of your whole life, devouring it. You gotta believe. And that's what the book of John was written for. That we can see what Jesus did. That we can see the signs that he did, the miracles, everything. And believe. John 20:31 says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe? So Jesus wants us to come to him, to approach him, to see him for who he truly is, and to believe. I'm going to finish up with this last verse. And we kind of talked about it. But verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Sounds pretty crazy, huh? The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. What does that mean? Stay tuned next week. We'll talk about it more. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this bread that you offer the world. God, thank you that you've provided it for us, that you've given it to us, that we could just take it in and make it a part of our lives. Lord, I pray that as we look to you in your scriptures, that we would be able to devour it more and more. And just make it a part of us. Thank you so much, God, for who you are, for coming down for us, because you love us and you want to have a relationship with us. In your name I pray. Amen.